Last summer, thousands of Unitarians, we went to Phoenix, Arizona for what was known as Justice General Assembly. We focused on immigration issues there in the desert near the border, and thousands of us engaged for days on issues of education, organizing, and public witness. And this morning, we're joining with Unitarian Universalists all across the country because, as it is such a pertinent issue in our country now, different groups are working in organizing. Yvonne Marlier is here today visiting from Bucksmont Congregation. She's one of the leaders of our statewide advocacy network. You plan working on, she's focused on the immigration team. And we believe that this year we may have a once-in-a-generation opportunity to pass at the federal level compassionate, comprehensive reform. And many of us are saying that as people of faith, we're called to raise our voices for a bill that promotes justice, compassion, and keeps families together. The Huffington Post reports that in 2011 and 12, the Obama administration has deported approximately 90,000 parents of children who are U.S. citizens, 90,000 parents each year. And I did not know this next fact. In 2011, the Obama administration deported 396,000 people. That's the most people who have ever been deported in one year in the history of the United States. Millions of people in the United States, Latin America, the Caribbean, and other migrant-sending regions, mostly of the global south, feel the pain of family separation. It's a massive, complicated set of problems. So for me, trying to come into this sermon, I know that numbers can be mind-numbing. It's hard to wrap our brains around what this really means, person by person, family by family, community by community. So let me tell you a few real stories. Rosa Jimenez is a young Unitarian Universalist teenager in Arizona. Rosa's family is originally from Veracruz, Mexico. Rosa is a bright student. I met her, works very hard in her classes and her extracurricular activities, including music. Rosa's mother went to her local public school to participate in the parent-teacher organization, but when she got there, they said, "Ma'am, we're going to have to do a background check on you in order to let you to participate." So she had to go home because that would have put her at danger of deportation. So here they are in a public school that needs help from the parents, and the parents are staying home because they might be sent away from their kids for a long period of time. Rosa, the teenager, knows the real pain of family separation because she has sat with friends of hers. One friend in particular, her mom went to work in the morning at the factory, never came home because ICE, immigration, customs enforcement came to the factory, took a bunch of people out, sent them off. The daughter never saw her mom again to this point. In many communities, including Philadelphia and across the country, crimes go underreported. We know about this in Philly. One exacerbating factor is that folks without documentation hesitate to call the police for fear of being turned over to immigration. And this happens even when they themselves are the victims of crime. If I've been mugged or my house has been burglarized, I'm less likely. These are true stories. Week in and week out in Philly, of calling the police because I might have a problem. And it's known that many burglars and thieves know about this, so they hit immigration neighborhoods harder because they have a more likely chance that nobody's going to call the cops on them. Over 11 million people live in the United States of America undocumented today. That's a stone-cold fact. And millions of people, so you got the good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly, just like the rest of folks with documentation. But we know within the 11 million folks, there are millions of good people doing good stuff every day for themselves, their family, their community. They clean, they go to work, they clean houses and places of work. They landscape and mow lawns. They plow snow. They cook and serve as chefs. They wait and bus tables. They wash dishes. They take care of children. They paint houses and lay concrete. Some of them are pastors in the churches in our neighborhoods. I know this. These are hard-working folks. And it'd be interesting to see the number, but I'll bet millions of them drive without valid driver's license and registration and insurance. And that just creates all kinds of problems when the police need to communicate or vice, or there's an accident, whatever. Manage bank accounts with limited privileges and having to use false ID puts them at risk of how their funds are managed. Millions of folks cannot return to their native lands to visit family or friends. And even within the continental U.S., they risk traveling around. Not only is it tough to fly to go see your cousin in Minneapolis, it's tough to go pick up your uncle at the airport because immigration is all over the airport. So this is a big, complicated set of issues, and I'm not pretending otherwise, but I really believe, and so many people who study believe, we can make a better way in the United States than we have right now. George Bush started his presidency, George Bush, younger George Bush, saying it's broken. A lot of people know this. So Unitarian Universalists, we're building partnerships around the country and at the local level with organizations working. New Sanctuary Movement is a wonderful program that has a national and a local chapter. And on July 31st, they had a crowning event on their summer program of 40 days of fasting, prayer, and action. And a couple dozen Unitarian Universalists went. We had about 10 folks from USG who went down to Arch Street Methodist Church for the break fast. That night, we celebrated a traditional Seder meal marking the memory of the Hebrew slaves forging 40 years in the desert from slavery to freedom. There we recall that currently millions of people are forging, walking, riding, risking their lives for freedom in a better way here in the United States. So you may ask, why the fasting and the prayer? Well, this is part of a great living spiritual tradition of how a human being who knows he or she's living in a troubled system can find his or her way to participating and making it better. At his baptism, Jesus heard the Spirit calling him to the desert. He walked out for 40 days, spent much of that time in prayer and fasting. He was in a battle with the devil and demons, evil. Now, for many Unitarian Universalists, we think of this metaphorically. He was in a battle with unjust systems that were entrenched and grinding people down against the will of the Spirit and goodness and God. Call it whatever you want. And Jesus' 40 days was partly in honor of the heritage of the Hebrew slaves, 40 years in the desert. The great Indian spiritual leader Mohandas Gandhi knew the benefits of fasting and helping one find clarity around a complicated moral cause. Among other things, Gandhi used fasting to fight for Indian independence, an end to the caste system, peace between India and Pakistan, and improving Muslim-Hindu relationships, which were tremendously troubled. Gandhi said that fasting helped the body to move more completely into harmony with nature. A lot of times we get out of sync with how we know we're meant to live, or just that we are creatures on this planet Earth. Technology and materialism can disconnect us. Fasting helps us to feel at one with nature. He also said that fasting helps us to find a better path to the truth, where many times anger or jealousy or resentment are impeding us from being with the truth of what we're really called to be and do in this world. He said he couldn't get to the truth. He was constantly seeking for the truth, if you know his story. But he said without prayer and fasting, he couldn't do it, and he didn't know how others would. He did a lot of things on his own. He had a famous 21-day fast where they worried he would die. But Gandhi also brought people together across segregated lines from different faith traditions. He brought the youth into fasting, and they would have their reflective conversations on how it was going. And so many times he reported that the people were energized. There was an esprit de corps. The spirit, the community was pumped up with spirit through their fasting and prayer. So the whole summer, people on Immigration Justice are doing little bits of fasting. If you want to do half a day of a juice fast, or a full day of a juice fast, or a couple afternoons in a row, go for it. Be safe. But listen to your spirit. Take some time for meditation. But Gandhi knew also fasting's not for everyone. If you have a medical issue or a work situation where you can't do it, he said it's just as helpful. He had millions of people watching. The eyes of the world were upon him. It's just as helpful being mindful in solidarity with those who are fasting and in prayer. So the night we went down there, there were a couple hundred people in that church basement, but only a couple dozen had done intense fasting. The others of us were there in connection with them spiritually. I myself am very weak in fasting. I have zero successful track record, and I've told the story of I tried it at a Buddhist meditation weekend one time, which was supposed to be fasting all weekend, and 12 hours in, I had to ask the head monk permission to leave, and I drove the heck out of there as fast as possible to a McDonald's and got a supersized meal at 11:50 before they closed. That's my embarrassing track record with fasting, but I know the power of being with people in solidarity, so let's all think about it and take it seriously. Also, obviously, we could do it around public education right now, which is at a massive crisis in our city. We can use these tools for injustice. These things take us to action. It's prayer, fasting, and action. So I'm going to offer two actions that you can take this week right here in Philadelphia. They are found in an insert in your program. Number one, the license between the City of Philadelphia and the Immigration and Customs Enforcement is up for renewal on August 31st. This allows the city to engage in mass deportation. The mayor and his deputy have basically said they're going to sign it, but they have not done it yet. So please call or write Mayor Nutter or District Attorney Seth Williams, President Judge Marsha Kneefield. These are wonderful people. And tell them to end the license and break the collaboration between the police and ICE. There are other ways that other cities are using that are less prescribed. This contract allows for too much capricious, harsh enforcement on a case-by-case basis, is the short version. Number two, this is a biggie. While Congress is in their August recess, call your federal representative, whether it's a rep or the senators, and demand that they vote yes on humane immigration reform. The Senate passed a bill. The House is entrenched in a lot of crazy politics and have done nothing, but they still have a chance to create a bill that they would both have to vote on again. Call them up and say you're a member of USG or represent however you want, and you support comprehensive immigration reform that creates a pathway to citizenship that's not complicated or punitive, allows families to stay together or be reunited, and allows young people to have equal access to higher education. Insert in your bulletin that give you all those words. Here's the thing. None of this is radical. A June 2013 Gallup poll shows that a majority of Americans support every single piece of the legislation they're debating when they break it out and say, do you support this? Well over 50% support every single piece of this. A lot of it is common sense. I mean, ask yourself, are we going to deport 11 million people? And if not, then what are we saying? What's the real reality of the policy? You know, 11 million people, please report to the planes and buses. You are now going home. Everybody knows that's a joke. So, but that, you know, just what's the reality of how we're going to deal with this? Think of it from the back end. This is not just about social justice. This is about the economy as well. The Economist and many great sources have run studies showing how it helps the labor force. It helps entrepreneurial spirit in our economy. It helps us to become better connected with trading partners around the globe, including in India and China. And what I believe 100%, I've actually had the chance to tell this to the mayor, if Philadelphia had better immigration reform and more folks from around the globe living health with health and safety in our communities, Philadelphia would rise up as a city. This will help, no doubt, this is, will help the economy, but it'll also help cultural arts, education, spirit, can-do attitude, appreciation for life. Philly will be a better place if this stuff passes. I believe that with all my heart. Vulnerability is the spiritual theme of the month. Tens of millions of people are vulnerable because of unjust policies. Through some fasting and meditating, we can all probably realize that in reality, that makes us all vulnerable. None of it is stable or makes sense. And we're called on to take some action. Brené Brown said, owning our story can be hard, but not nearly as difficult as spending our lives running from it. Immigration is a central story in the United States of America. We started with immigration. We've always had immigration. We can't run from it. We have to own it. Embracing our vulnerabilities is risky, but not nearly as dangerous as giving up on love and belonging and joy. Let's not give up on love, belonging, and joy. These are the experiences that make us the most vulnerable and bring us the most richness in our lives. She said, only when we are brave enough to explore the darkness will we discover the infinite power of our own light. Let me close with telling you a story of a woman I will call Flora. Flora has three children from her first marriage, in which she lost her husband to drug violence. He was murdered. Flora and her second husband came to the United States from Central America 6 years ago. They had two children of their own here. They're both happy with work, family, building a life. 3 years ago, Flora's husband was deported. They worked hard to get the funds together to bring him back. Illegally, he came back and got back to Philly. But eventually, he was recaptured by La Migra, and this time deported for life. So now, Flora works two jobs, 7 days a week, very good person. She takes care of her five kids, all of whom may never see their father again. Two of whom will never see their father again. I'm saying for all these macro issues, there are no easy answers. But thinking of all the Floras, our country cannot give up on love, belonging, and joy. Many of us believe immigration reform is absolutely needed to allow our country to achieve her greatest promise. Here's the ideals we live by. Here's the reality. Let's close the gap a little bit. Let's fast and pray, and as the Quran says, reflect for guidance and judgment about right and wrong. We are called to welcome folks in from their long journeys in the desert of fear, hunger, and violence. We can make room at the inn. When we do, and when we declare our unity as a human family, we can break fast, sit down at the welcome table, and have a beautiful feast. Blessings be. Amen.